Scripture reading this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. We'll read the first 13 verses. We'll follow that with the confession of our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed, as well as reading from Lord's Day 50, which is the context for our message service this evening on the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. In response to God's word in our confession, we'll sing from Psalter 400, stanzas 3, 5, and 6. First, hear God's word. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, our text for this evening is Matthew 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And I wonder if we realize how many times we've prayed this. And if, when we've prayed this, we've wrestled with the irony or the possible irony of what we're praying. Because so often we sit at the table, a table full of food, 5, 6, 10 feet away from the pantry, which is full of food, and we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And if we've thought about, I wonder if we've thought about why we keep praying this when the table's full and the pantry's full and the fridge is full. There's a profound reason why we do pray this and why we should keep praying this even when our cupboards are full. I want this evening to approach this petition of the Lord's Prayer, recognizing this wrestling that we ought to do in our minds. We'll see three things: a unique problem, a specific petition, and then recognizing at the end the divine purpose why we need to keep praying this. The problem is unique to the culture we live in. We have cupboards, pantries, fridges, freezers, extra fridges in the garage, freezers in the basement. And we worry when they're less empty than they normally are. But that is a unique problem. Something that I think many of our grandparents never even had as a problem. Our cupboards are full. And every week, every year, we waste so much food. 17% of all food produced around the world is thrown out. And that's not just elsewhere in the world. Canada is actually one of the worst countries for throwing food out. 173 pounds per person per year thrown out. It's more than the U.S., it's more than the U.K. And we might think, yeah, those stores, they're really bad at throwing food out. But you know what? Stores are the category where the least food is thrown out, 13%. Restaurants throw out 26% of our food. It's households that throw out 61% of the food. And if we would take the average household in Canada, about 50% of the food is lost or wasted or thrown away. And it's not because it's all rotten and smelly. It's estimated that 33% of that could have been given to someone else, and they would have been able to eat it. We have a unique problem where we have so much, and yet every day we pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's unusual because in the biblical times, they were much more aware of the need for daily bread. And if they didn't have their food, it was an issue. And you can think of many examples in the Old and New Testament of people who needed food. Just recall the miracle of the 5,000. They didn't have food with them, and this was an urgent situation. Or think of Jacob sending his family to Egypt because they needed food, and they end up living there. Think of Gideon, whose concern was that the horsemen, others of the army, would come into town and take away their food. See, that concern was very real. And we can jump ahead to early societies and subsistence living. Children, you've probably heard of hunter-gatherer, right? They're dependent every day. We need to find enough food for today. And that's so far removed from our experience. And yet today, there's many countries, many people in many countries who have this daily need. They need to find some food for today. And yet in Canada, our fridges are full and we throw out so much. A number of years ago, I was in Mexico, and every day we were there, we'd cross the border back into the States, sleeping in Arizona. And every day as we were lined up at the border, these people would be coming through trying to sell you a can of Coke. They wanted a dollar for the can of Coke or the bottle of water. And they were hoping to sell, you know, five of these cans or what it was, so that they could go and get some supper. And they were their own little stores, just always enough, just for the day. And they'd be back the next day. You'd recognize the same people. Have a conversation with them, hoping for just enough cash to go and buy some food. It You see, we recognize that those people are around the world and they have needs. And so often we think that this is what they need to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we don't feel this, the weight of this petition as much as they do. But it's a unique problem for us here in Canada. Because what has this realization or this perception done to us? We don't feel this same urgency to ask God for our daily bread. And it's to our spiritual detriment because we fail to depend on Him daily for what we need. And yet, we have to remember that this is inspired truth of God. This is Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. And He's not just knowledgeable for the first century. This is truth for today. And what are we praying then when we pray this petition? Well, that's our second thought, the specific words within this petition. We are still to pray this every day. Give. How are you holding your hand out when you pray to the Lord? Give. I think we have to be careful here. Because we can't say, please give us more so that we can stock the freezer. But you see, we come before God in prayer, our Father in heaven. Give. All mercy. We're confessing even as we pray this that everything we receive is a gift from God. As Paul says to the Corinthians, what have you received that is not from Him? And as we pray this petition, then we're coming not boldly and demanding give, but we're holding our hands out, recognizing that everything is a gift from God. And yes, we still have to work. We work for our bread. Right? We know the proverb that those who do not work should not eat. That's not harshness, but it's encouraging responsibility. But as we've sung, we realize God's the creator who's putting all these things together so that we might be able to eat. And we come before Him then, recognizing this is His gift, and we're confessing we're grateful for these gifts and these resources. We're giving thanks. We should keep giving thanks at meals. Because this too is from Him. This food that's on the table is from Him. It's a gift. And then consider this with the next word, give us. Have you ever wondered why it's in the plural? It doesn't say give me what I need today. It's give us. And it's easy as a family to think of it in a family sense. Give us as a family the bread we need. But Jesus is coming to the disciples and He's teaching them, the same disciples who handed out the bread to the 5,000 later. This is not to be a selfish prayer. This is not give me. No, this is concern for others, concern for the neighbors. This is love your neighbor as yourself. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, are we actually thinking about our neighbors who need food? You see, as a community, as a church family, yes, but as a community in the city and as a country, we ought to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I think in today's world, we understand how interconnected the food supplies and the food chain is. Right? God gives rain to the earth, he gives sun to the earth. That blessing makes crops and trees grow. One farmer milks the cows who've eaten the grass. Another farmer cuts the wheat. Another gathers eggs. Another picks some pears. Another one grinds the wheat into flour. And it's sold at all different levels. And then we get together and we make French toast. And we give God thanks. But you see, as we're praying this prayer, it's not just for the preferred entree of the day. We're praying that the farmers would be blessed and the food chain would be blessed and everybody would have something to eat. And so, yes, it's a prayer for our families around the table, but it's also a prayer for others. One person said it's a kingdom prayer. It's a prayer that in God's kingdom there would be enough food for everybody. And we need to recognize that it's sin that keeps food from those who need it. James 2 points this out rather explicitly. Verse 15 and 16. Well, let me back up to verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? You see, this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it is a realization of what maybe we don't need as much as others, but others do need. And then let's focus on the next words, give us this day. This is actually a needed correction to our mentality, because it's give us enough. Give us what is sufficient for this day. It's not too many times in our lives, I think, where we've been at daily subsistence, not knowing where tomorrow's food's going to come from. So are we honestly trusting God when we say to Him, give us just enough food for today? Are we trusting God when we pray, give us just enough food for today, but are worried about our grocery list? It reminds me of Elijah at the river. Right? What happened? Elijah's there by himself, running. Needs food. Twice a day, the raven would come, bring him just enough. Just enough. Just enough. And do we trust God that much that we will pray this in faith? Give us today what we need for today. And then we're praying not for luxury or specialties, but give us just enough of the basics. Now, again, let's remember this is a prayer to God our Father. Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And those of us who are parents, I think, understand this. This is how parents treat their children for most centuries. You will have food today. Dad will provide food. Mom will provide food. You don't worry. You see, it's only, I don't know how long, but I think it's becoming such a mindset today where, oh, don't worry, there's food in the cupboard and I can go in and grab it anytime I want. I don't even ask anymore. It's just, I know there's going to be food there. But you see, our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and just like parents through the centuries have known what their children need, He won't let His children suffer hunger. I've not seen the righteous begging bread. And you see, if we are not to spiritually wither then and starve, we need this petition in the front of our minds, recognizing that it is our Father in heaven who is hearing this prayer. And we need to realize that this is how much we depend on Him. In spite of our culture and the world around us. As one author said, the supreme folly of the 20th, and let me add 21st century, is the folly of thinking that we have acquired a certain amount of knowledge about God, and now we are independent of Him. I know God, I know what God does, so now I can continue on. We cannot live a day without Him. Nothing would continue were it not sustained and given by God. And that includes the food chain. And so we must keep praying this prayer. And what's the purpose then in praying this and encouraging this to be prayed in a culture that is fat with more than enough? I want to give you 8 things here that are part of this purpose. When we pray this petition, we're being rebuked against self-sufficiency. So often we live without need of God. But when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're confessing our need. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. 2 things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from me, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to live, not self-sufficiently, but on independence on God. And then secondly, it's a rebuke against pride. Because what happens when we go grocery shopping? We pretend we get food. We fill the cart. We go home, we unload. We did groceries. We filled the pantry again. And we think we did it. We did it. Give us this day our daily bread. Keep pride from us, Lord. Thirdly, it's a petition against ingratitude. If we are honestly praying this petition, it's to build gratitude in our hearts and lives, and it's to pull away, to suck away, to vacuum up the ingratitude that lives in us so naturally, thinking it's always going to be there. But you see, when we can pray by faith, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're not just confessing dependence on God, but we're asking Him to take away all the ingratitude we've had for all the luxuries that He's given to us, and we've never expressed a word of thanks. And then fourthly, it's against egocentrism. And by this I mean the tendency we have to think we deserve more. We deserve more luxury. We deserve bigger pantries, bigger fridges, bigger barns. You see, the parable in Luke 12 that Jesus says against building barns is, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. And Jesus speaks a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plenty, and he thought within himself, what am I going to do since I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I'll do this. I'll go build bigger barns, and I'll build greater barns, and there I will store up all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We might not build bigger barns, but we build bigger pantries. We stock bigger pantries. And Jesus in the parable says, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then, whose will those things be which you have provided? See, we can't think we deserve more, and we need to pray this. Give us this day our daily bread. But now positively, four things. This petition calls us to realize that no one receives all of God's gifts at once. God gives in steps, in doses. And we depend on him, not just for today's dose, but tomorrow as well. And we're going to have to petition again. And just think of Israel in the wilderness. Manna, every day. Don't take up too much. It's not going to last. Just enough for today. Water. We need water. Here's some water. Enough to get you through the wilderness. But not the river, not yet. And you see, it's only later that the grapes come, and it's only later in the land of promise that the milk and the honey comes. And should anybody have said God wasn't providing? No, but it comes in stages, and it comes in doses. And even today, we need to realize no one receives all of God's gifts at once. Give us this day our daily bread. And then, sixthly, realize that this petition proves to us that God, our Father in heaven, who is holy, who is King of the kingdom, whose will is perfect, cares about little things. He cares about your bread. Right? He is the king of the kingdom. But this king feeds his sparrows. Yes, he's Father in heaven and in a sense so far removed. And yet he's right here. He knows what's on our table or not on our table. He cares about your bread, your hair, your body, your physical needs. And we keep praying this petition then because it reminds us that God cares about our bread. Seventhly, we keep praying this petition because there is a healthy style of repetition. Did you notice or remember in Matthew 6, in Jesus' introduction to the prayer, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And yet, every day, we should come before him with this petition. Give us this day our daily bread and pray it again and again. But it's not vain repetition in the sense of the rebuke that Jesus was giving. Because the vain repetition is over and over just to multiply words. When we come before God with this petition, we can pray it every day. And it's not vain repetition because it should be a humbled heart of faith before the Father in heaven. It's not the multitude of words, it's a short petition. But we should mean it in all its fullness. Give us this day our daily bread. But then finally, eighthly, realize this daily bread points us to our regular need of the living bread, Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily living bread. Now, you might say, where's that coming from? I thought this was just physical bread. Jesus is caring about our physical needs. But you see, it's Jesus Christ himself who makes this connection. Our daily bread, physical bread that we eat, is a sign given to us that we might believe that he's the living bread. John 6, 34. The people are standing there, and Jesus is speaking to them about Moses didn't give you bread, but the Father has given you bread. And then the people say to Jesus, Lord, give us this bread always. Because they're thinking it's an automatic supply. And Jesus replies this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And you see, the people were asking for a sign. What are you going to do that we might believe you? I give you bread. But know this, it's not Moses who gave you bread, it's your Father in heaven who gives you bread, and now your Father in heaven gives you the real bread. Do you believe? And it's not to say the manna that the Israelites received in the wilderness was spiritual. That was real food. But the real food pointed to the spiritual food and the provision of spiritual food. And so why do we pray? Why must we keep praying for daily physical food? Because it's a reminder that we need this daily spiritual food. And so we must pray this petition for ourselves, for our families, for our church. We do so recognizing that we've been blessed extraordinarily. But you see, it's designed to increase our faith. That we would glorify God with such humility and dependence. Give us the temporal things. That we would know your promises of eternal things. Give us the means of subsistence, Lord, just as you've promised kingdom inheritance. Give us today the support we need for today so that we would understand you are giving everlasting glory. And yes, we come praying with empty hands, but knowing that the fountain of all good is Jesus Christ. R.C. Sproul gives this example, and I'm just acknowledging that it's his. But it captures this point so well. He writes, after the Korean War ended, the South Koreans were left with a large number of children who had been orphaned. They had lost their parents in the war. And in the case of Korea, the relief agencies came in. They came in to deal with all the problems that arise when there's so many orphaned children. And one of the people involved in these relief efforts told R.C. Sproul this story. So all these children coming together in these orphanages, and the orphanages, because they were well sponsored, were able to provide for them, and they gave them three meals a day, three good meals a day. But every night when the kids went to bed, they were restless and anxious to the point that they weren't even sleeping anymore. As the relief workers talked to the children about this, trying to resolve the problem, they recognized that the children were having great anxiety about whether there would be enough food for tomorrow. They'd just got three meals. To help resolve this problem, one of the orphanages started the habit of every night when the children went to bed, they'd be given a slice of bread, and they were not to eat it. They were to hold on to it. And they would fall asleep holding on to this piece of bread. It was a security blanket. They were reminded, there's going to be enough food for tomorrow because you already have some of it in your hand. And sure enough, they fell asleep. They were able to trust that there was going to be food for tomorrow. And R.C. Sproul's conclusion to this illustration is, therefore we are to take comfort in knowing that our physical cares needs are met and that we have food, bread, for our needs. God gives us daily bread now so we can hold on to it and trust Him for the future when He promises much more. Amen.